Read a little.
Yep.
So moving on the agenda here, report from the commissioners, just what's been going on with our efforts serving on the board since we last got together. We've been, I think probably the biggest thing with me is we've been working with Dr. Van Zandt and others to continue to develop the processes that we're going to utilize in moving forward with the commission board's role of financial review, but also we have been asked a couple times, and we spent some time, some effort to go back and speak with the Attorney General about this to make sure that we were standing on solid ground. There was a comment, there was a request, a concern made that the new commissioner orientation that we have done in the past was not correctly done, that it needed to be an open meeting. We had not done it as such. We had done it as a training session, which just according to everything we had reviewed in open meeting law and our initial inquiry to the Attorney General's office several years ago, they had indicated to us that it did not need to be an open meeting as long as we did not conduct business, that it truly was just an orientation training session. And just like some of the examples we've had in the past, specifically with Dr. Van Zandt's annual evaluation, where depending on what time or who we've asked at the Attorney General's office over the years, the answer has varied, and it has gone from it having to be in the a public review to something that could be done in an executive session and back and forth. This too has now, the Attorney General's opinion has changed. They are now saying that this should be conducted as a public meeting. So we're happy to comply with that. And Dr. Van Zandt and I have been writing some letters back and forth to the person who had brought this forward, this concern forward. But we will continue to make sure that that individual's concern is answered. But any future sessions like that we do, when possibly in a year or so from now, whenever we have a couple more commissioners join us and some of us rotate off the board, I guess that'd be a few, it'd be a little while yet, but when it's appropriate to hold one of those orientations again, we will change the format so that it will be a public meeting. It will be anybody is welcome to attend that really wants to come and see us sit around a round table and go through a training manual. You know, anybody would be welcome to join us. I will say that because it's a public meeting, that means that there'll be a formal agenda, not that we didn't have one before, but there will be a formal agenda. There will be items on it that will dictate that we go into executive session. And so that would be part of the training. And when we cover topics of a personnel nature. So anyway, the format of it will be changing. Does anybody else have any comments that they would like to make as far as some activities you've been working on in the last couple months?
Yeah, well.
Okay.
This is Chad.
Just a quick comment on the when we did, when I first became on the board here, this first got on the board last year, or the beginning of this year, I should say, having that little training session that we did back in Kearney was, I needed that because I was stepping into something I had no idea, you know, what I was getting into, I guess, so to speak. But it kind of gave us all a sense of direction and where we wanted to go with it as well. And now that it's going to be in public meeting, that's fine. But as the public sitting there listening to it, I would think that's got to be awfully bored for that person. But I was just going to report quick. I got to play the role of a commissioner, or not a commissioner, counselor back in September. I helped with the FYI program in North Platte. I think we had 7 clients there that were newly blinded, I guess you could say. It was relatively new, so it was like a mini center for a week, and I got to teach the woodworking part of it as well as do a seminar and things like that. And that's, I love that because at the end of it, you know, I had 2 different people tell me that, wow, you're an inspiration, you changed my life. And that's the reason I like to do that, is because I remember when it happened to me and, you know, I had the fears and everything that we've all went through. The people that touched me and that changed my life, it's just awesome to be able to give back and to do that for somebody else. And then I'm also on the board of Friends of the Commission, and I'll let Robert report on that if he wants to. Mark, do you have anything?
Well, I was just going to...
Here's a mic.
Okay, thanks. Well, I'm the American Council of Blind President, and also the president of the Omaha Association of Blind, so a lot of things that are just dealing with members and trying to do this thing blind, being blind together, so that's important. But what I want to just briefly talk about is something that came up at our commissioner's retreat, and it was a need for like some type of matrix so that we can reconfirm kind of what we're doing here in Nebraska. And I'll give an example. Meeting before last, when we did the executive director's annual review, we didn't really have any idea where we were. Were we in the ballpark or not? And so what I did is I looked at some comparable state agencies in size, geographic location, and also comparable professional fields here in Nebraska. And I concluded that, hey, we are in the ballpark. And that, by looking outside of our own little abilities, that gives us an idea where we're at. And unfortunately, even with all that effort, you know, there's really no measure to say, well, Dr. Van Zandt is a superior executive director to another agency. So it's still difficult to do. But anytime that you can get some indicators to show how we're doing, I think it's important. So we're looking at doing a matrix where, for example, we'll have all the 50 states, and, you know, half of them are separate agencies for the blind, so we'll know which ones those are. We'll know how many people they serve, you know, how many clients they have, how many staff they have, and do they have a center, you know, do they operate their own library system. So when it comes down to, you know, kind of reconfirming what we're doing, it'll give us an idea to check outside of our 4 state walls to give us some reaffirmation that, hey, we're doing the right thing, and if we're not, maybe that's a discussion point. So I look to have some kind of matrix, and you know, it's not going to be all-inclusive, but I think it'll be a useful tool to help us kind of compare, and I think we personally do a lot of great things here, and that we should be marketing and capitalizing on. So that's basically what I've got. So
I could say a couple things. Okay. Sorry. All right, so yeah, Robert here. So I also was an instructor in that training program that Chad mentioned, FYI, for your information.
For your independence.
Thank you. I knew it couldn't just be information. That's good. Out in North Platte, that was great. I always liked doing that because that's what I did for almost 4 decades, so it was great to do that some more. Then, as Chad mentioned, you know, I'm also on the board for the Friends of the Commission. I'm the president of it. So, yeah, we gave out a grant last year, $1,000, to help blind kids in the state, you know, learn about Braille. That was a program put on through the National Federation of the Blind, their BIL program. So that was great. This next year, I think we're going to be looking at maybe trying to target an older blind, because the last 2 years of giving out a grant, we had a focus of the grant that we put out to talk more about younger blind. So we realized that, hey, there's blind people are in all age groups. We better get something out there for the older blind. So we're also looking at some different kind of areas of funding. We just started working on a program that the Schwann company has. They're the people that go around with their van and bring food to people's houses, you know, kind of a higher class type of, I don't know, that
Michael
fast.
Dogs.
Anyway, yeah. So anyway, we're going to work with them to get some more monies in our coffers and that sort of thing. So that's kind of what we're doing there. So anyway, it's just the Friends is out there, and we're just going to try to augment the good work that the commission is doing. We're here for them. Plus, we also, this past year, also provided monies for the T-shirts for the group, the training program that the commission puts on every year, Project Independence. That's folks from like 8-5 to 13, I suppose. So we provided the T-shirts for that. So that was great. All right, Miss Becky.
Well, I guess my comment would be that I had maybe a teachable moment that made me feel really good. And I guess we all have teachable moments, but and I guess being a teacher, I have many of those. But there was a student that I worked with, and he made the comment that he wanted to travel before he becomes blind, and so he could enjoy it now. And so, of course, we had to educate him. And after a little bit of education, it just almost seemed like he had a weight lifted off his shoulders, that if he was blind, he would still be able to enjoy traveling. So I guess I would just enjoy allowing him to see a different perspective and to just to have a weight lifted off his shoulders.
Very good.
Becky's comment just made me have to sit back and think a minute. Anyway, yeah, just a comment about what Mark said. We looked at some things in years past a little bit. I know I have, and I just had never found one resource anywhere. I know the feds put out some documents about the different state, comparing some of the different state agencies. Nebraska, or I'm sorry, the National Council of State Agencies for the Blind.
NCSA.
Yeah, they have some resources there that, I mean, are listing out all the agencies, you know, who their contacts are. I think they list whether they're independent or a combined agency, but nothing that actually listed out, like a comprehensive list that we hadn't found one yet that we could use for when we had questions. Like, you know, what are all the agencies that are independent? What are all the agencies that are commissions? What are all the agencies that share, that run a library too? Nebraska doesn't. Iowa does. What are all the agencies that have a training center? What are all the agencies that have an NBE program? So on. So, and then also looking a little bit also at like sizes. What's their caseload compared? What's their caseload? And then maybe throw in there what's their state population, mm-hmm. Just so we have some comparisons. But it's something that that Mark and I've talked about in the past. He's worked on some. We'd like to put it together so that we have some reference material. And if it's something that we think is valuable, we'd certainly be willing to share it with some others too. Mm-hmm. So, all right, Dr. Van Zandt. Are you ready for your executive director's report?
I'm ready.
Okay. Mic.
Thank you. As usual, it's been a very busy quarter. We just celebrated with the governor, the Employee and Supervisor of the Year this past week with a ceremony at the State Capitol, and then also had a reception at the governor's mansion. John Schmidt was the VR counselor, or was the Employee of the Year. He's a VR counselor in Norfolk. And then Carol Jenkins was Supervisor of the Year. She heads up the Nebraska Center for the Blind in Lincoln. And the awards ceremony was November 2nd, and it was a very nice event. We've completed during this past quarter, completed and submitted the biennium budget proposal that's for the next 2 years, starting July 1, 2017. We'll talk more about that in another agenda item. Since then, we've fielded some calls and questions from the governor and legislative fiscal analysts. We've worked on aspects of the full budget and how that's all going to work out. And so we continue to work on that, and we'll have our budget hearing in when the session opens. We don't know the date yet. We usually don't know till closer to the time. Anyway, that's been a big piece of work. I also took a week and took a road trip to Scotts Bluff, spent time with staff and clients in Scotts Bluff, North Platte, and Kearney offices, and ended the week with the Kearney office open house and ribbon cutting. So that was really a very good time to spend with all the folks out that direction. We also have been working very hard to put together the new client management system. Aware is the name of the system. The company we're purchasing it from is Alliance Enterprises. We did have quite a lot of work involved with getting that to come to fruition. We are now in place with a kickoff that will be the week after next, and moving forward with that, there's a lot of work involved with that, and but it's a big relief that we have a product we're moving ahead with, so that's really great. We also had the White Cane Proclamation Ceremony with Governor Ricketts, and a number of consumers attended, and we were able to accept the proclamation and spoke about the benefits of employing people who are blind. I also attended the NFBN State Convention and had the opportunity to speak about NCBBI. There's also the state government has a electronic content management system called OnBase. I attended a full day session of that. Others attended some parts of that. Some of the state agencies are using parts of this whole system. We use it, pieces of it, for our surplus property and a few things. But they have a lot more that they can offer state agencies. I think we'll, with our procurement of Aware, we won't get more involved with that at this point, but perhaps we also have been working a lot of time on contracts. We finalized templates for drivers and instructors, as well as a general services form. As a result of the audit this past year, we now are having legal review of our contracts, and so we do have the legal review as part of the form for drivers and for instructors, since those are fairly standard templates, and then also for the overall template of other services, but the specifics of those will go back to the attorney each time for their review. So it's quite a process, and we're trying to get a system in place that really is smooth and works well, and that we end up with or that we start with an accessible, fillable form for staff to use, and then we end up with an accessible document at the end. So that's been a really good thing to do and quite time-consuming. We're working with Nebraska VR on aspects about the Workforce Investment and Opportunities Act, or Innovation and Opportunities Act, WIOA. There are new sections that are especially needing work, the Section 511, which is closing of sheltered workshops, pre-employment transition, the pre-ETS, state match, maintenance of effort, just a lot of things involved that we're working on. Also, this is the time that a lot of the counselors are renewing their status as certified VR counselors for the blind, and those all come to me and I review and approve those renewals. So that means that people are committed, they get training through the years in order to renew their certification. The Lincoln office projects are nearly done. It's been a huge effort, and some parts of this report go more into detail with that. The Lincoln staff at the center and the district have done a great job with managing that transition, and things were really completely discombobulated for quite some time, and we're nearly done with all of that, and it really is looking good. I also I've been involved in a lot of different things, and as well as the Friends of the Commission. The numbers of people that we've served this past year, we served 891 VR clients in all statuses. 67 people were closed having achieved their employment goals. 76 were closed without achieving the goals, but sometimes that means they move, referred to another agency, and so forth. Five clients were served before they developed a plan for employment. And as of September 30th, there were 320 active VR clients on the caseloads. Independent living track, we served 680 people. 321 were closed successfully achieving their goals, 33 without their goals. And during the federal fiscal year, at the end of the year, there were 201 active clients. The majority of these are senior blind, 189 senior blind. Seven clients are between ages 24 to 48, and five are under the ages of 18. Actually, they're ages 3 to 12. So there are no IL clients in the transition age range. Those are all VR. This, and of course, as always, there's a lot more detail in the whole report that I'll encourage you to read if you're interested. The center is now full. We're very excited about that. Right now we have 10 clients, 2 staff trainees, and 1 orientation and mobility apprentice. There's been a great effort from throughout the state with staff bringing people in for 3-day stays to see about whether the center's a good fit for them. We've started doing FaceTime tours, so people who can't make it into Lincoln can still have a tour of the center by using FaceTime. So that's new and a fun thing. The center supervisor continues to speak to the districts on changes and updates, and is also participating in monthly national conference calls with other center directors. And the remodeling in Lincoln, that's affecting the center as well, but that's making good progress and hopefully will be done by the end of the calendar year. Staff-wise, in Lincoln, we hired Charlie Salzman to replace Stephanie Wagel as the VR technician. And Stephanie Wagel is going to be the transition VR counselor in the Lincoln District when she finishes her training. Clients got jobs as dishwasher, professor, VR tech 2, resident events coordinator, job coach, and childcare worker. Then in Omaha, and of course, again, lots more great detail I don't have time to go into. Omaha, very active in all kinds of activities and training and direct services to clients. Some of the jobs that people have started this quarter, one is a project manager, customer service rep, machine operator, food service workers, a lockbox senior specialist. We need a focus topic on what these jobs are. A radio announcer, student services counselors for post-secondary institutions, computer systems analyst, computer network, and systems administrator. So it's really neat, I find, that such a range of positions is terrific. In North Platte, the staff-wise, we do have a new VR tech in North Platte. You'll recall that Sherry Brugman retired in August, and our new VR tech is Laura LaValle, and she's been a great fit for the district and the agency. Jobs people are getting, NCBBI a position, and Walmart, a coffee house, and I guess that'll be a barista, I don't know. And then another client is completing an on-the-job experience at the Grand Island in the cafeteria. And actually that one I had the opportunity to spend the day observing that jobs and that individual. So that was really great. Lots of stuff going on in terms of pre-eds. Wages occurred this summer, of course. It was really a great endeavor. There were 17 youth. They all grew tremendously in their blindness skills and their belief in themselves through half-day skill building, and then in their workplace abilities through their job experience, and they also had socially savvy training. There's a lot about the work world that is beyond knowing the job. You got to be able to talk to people and fit in and, be able to really communicate well with people. So that was a really good piece of the training this year. And then we have a contract with Gemini Research to survey the wages students and assess their knowledge takeaway on many aspects of the program. So that'll maybe help us strengthen the program and make sure that we're really doing what the clients need. Let's see. We've also, because of wages and the reboot camp and other work that the field staff are doing, have been building the NCBBI's relationships with teachers. We have quite a few teachers now that are excited about the commission and want to join in the programs that NCBBI does. And so that kind of building communication is really important. Also, the Nebraska City Center, NCECBBI, has a new position that is a statewide transition coordinator. That person has come and met with Shane and toured the center, met other people in Lincoln as well, and so it's really good to have that networking effort in process as well. Project Independence took place. It started 2 days after wages ended. We had 13 youth, and so that was also a really good opportunity for the kids and the other people that were involved with that. I love the theme this year was called Come Sail Away With Me, and the effort or the major emphasis was a quote that said, a ship is safe in a harbor, but that isn't what ships are built for. So I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
Fall Winterfest actually happened this weekend. It's just ending today. And they are, besides the usual great opportunities of Winterfest, they're ending with a program by the Dale Carnegie Corporation that will be a really good training for those that are involved. Let's see. And Shane also wanted me to mention he's working on some initial stages of a college seminar that's likely to be in January, as well as some other efforts and programs that he and others are looking at together. And we're nearly ready to start phase two of the project we have with Dr. Gary Mears. That'll be addressing the barriers on our work with youth from the survey we did last spring, or that he did with us. He'll be working with individual counselors and the youth that we serve to help them to really get a good ground base for moving forward in their education and their career path. Technology, lots going on in there as well. Wes has been heavily involved with the work on the procurement of the new case management system, the AWARE system. He's been working, he's been instrumental in the work with the Office of the CIO, the OCIO, and those of us in-house to get that moving. As you know, he's working on the website and also things that relate to accessibility. The copier in Lincoln is a one step forward, four back, one half forward again process. And so that takes a lot of Wes's time as well. Also, he had the opportunity to get some training in Android types of technology, and he'll be providing work on all of that to other people in CBVI. Another staff change is that we have a new business manager, too, who is now in training. Len Labental was hired, and he's in training now. And so he'll be working primarily, he'll be supervised by Carlos, and he'll be working with NBE and the business office with Bill on a number of things related to business enterprise, contract management, and so on. And then Kathy's been really busy with many things. One thing that's been very time-consuming is the whole, with the renovations in Lincoln, there's a lot to do with office furniture, moving old things to surplus, getting new things in and ordered, and arranging travel and training people coming in and so on. And of course, in our business office, we've got lots going on with the budget, with WIOA, getting things in order for complying with WIOA, the grants, the contracts, and hiring processes. So those are the highlights. I'll be glad to give more detail or answer any questions you might have.
I have a few.
All right. Okay, here you go, Mike.
Start with an easy one here, I think. We have been, Wes and everyone has been working on this copier, trying to find an accessible copier solution for our offices for quite a while. Have we ever reached out to other state agencies around the country and said, what are you doing? Are other state agencies around the country have some sort of accessible copier that they're using already and can give us some insight as to where to go to find one that works
Wes, do you have any comments on that?
I can say a few things.
Yeah.
Well, I know that we had some past experience with Lexmark, myself in a previous life, with when I worked at NFB. They did some things, and also they were presenting at NCSAP, and so that's where we started. We also had a Canon machine previous to that that had some features that didn't work the way we wanted them to. It was our thought that Lexmark would meet our needs because it worked so well when I used it in the past. I don't know where it's come off the rails here, because the old copier did what we wanted it to do, but it kept falling off the network. Their solution to that was replacing the machine. And this new machine has, as you all may have seen in the email yesterday, some issues with scanning fidelity and some other stuff. So I don't know what the way forward is at this point.
Okay. I feel your frustration, and it seems like what Pearl was saying. You know, you take a few steps forward and then a few back, it seems like you're probably very frustrated by the process.
Yeah.
I guess listening to your report, Dr. Van Zandt, it reminded me of something that I guess I wanted to pass along to everybody here and to all of the staff, and that was that I was sitting at an annual dinner the other night for the Capital Humane Society in Lincoln, and happened to speak to their director of volunteers, their volunteer coordinator, and she, in conversation, she knew of my involvement with the Commission for the Blind, and she just happened to make some comments that were very positive about the wages student that they had this year.
Good.
And they really thought the world of that person, and they did an excellent job, and wish they would have had more of them.
So, great.
So just a thumbs up. And then AWARE, with AWARE coming, I know that there's going to be a lot of planning, a lot of changes. It's going to come in some ways. I'm sure it's going to come faster than you want it, and then it's, in some ways it's going to be not fast enough. You guys, I'm sure, would like it in place today, but in other ways, you want time to plan its deployment and make sure that everything's right and works correctly and is configured exactly the way you want it from day one. So you want your time to be able to work through those questions and figuring everything out. And it's a balancing act between those two. It's my understanding that AWARE is going to be hosted in the cloud, and I think I've asked this in the past a little bit, and things were still in the works. Do we have any assurances in the form of, with written in the words in the contract, about ownership of our data, so that if there is ever a dissolution, if we ever leave AWARE, we cease our agreement with them, that we own our data, we have it, we have rights to that, we get it back from them in what in a format that we can reuse. Is there some method that is going to be employed so that we have a local backup of that data that's usable in some way, shape, or form, so that in the event that we either choose to leave that agreement with AWARE, or for whatever reason they fold as a company, that might take a while and involve lawyers to get access to our data, and that is something that we need on a daily basis. So having a backup of it in some way, shape, or form that we could then put someplace else and and pull nuggets out of or use to import into something else at a later time. Has that been considered, and is there something like that in the contract where like specifying ownership of data? I guess let's just start there.
Yes. Thank you. And we could probably spend the whole, I really didn't tell you much about AWARE, but yes, we do own the data, and they do, the company Alliance Enterprises works with contracts with, I think, 35 other state VR agencies, and so they are very, very well set to help us do any of the reporting, especially through WIOA, all the new things that will be required and so on. And so, but at the same time, we occasionally need to do other kinds of reports, not just the federal reports, but we'll have an inquiry from either a policymaker or someone that we want to crunch some data a certain way, and so we need to have access to the information and for Julie to run the question that Carlos might pose to her and so on. But so yes, we talked about, and I don't know the technical aspects, but having access to basically, whether it's a backup or however you want to call it, but
an offline copy.
Yes, an offline copy, thank you, of all the data that we will have periodically updates. Bill, do you want to speak to that more? Did you have something you want to say on that?
I can also address. We worked with the OCIO, the Office of the CIO. They took a guy named Dave Hatton, has been working with us. He's one of the managers at OCIO, and he helped us put this contract together. We do have an escrow arrangement with Alliance, and I'll be honest, I don't know exactly how that escrow works, but there's like a $2 million fund, if you will, or escrow account out there that will assist us in getting that information back if we run into a problem. And that is written in, it wasn't in the original contract, but it was written in to one of the appendices of the document.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay.
Can I ask, just a couple quick comments. Great news that the center is now full. I think that took a lot of energy and effort and refocus to do that. And I know it was a statewide effort, so good to see that back where it should be. Secondly, congratulations on the efforts that you and Bill did to get some additional funding from other states that didn't take advantage of the federal match dollars. That's great. We got more money to do more things. Question about independent living. With WIOA, we're no longer able to serve those people working age up to 55 that do not have a VR goal outcome. What's happening to those people? Can you tell me briefly?
Yes, thank you for that. we did recently get word that we can provide services to the individuals in that age range that have independent living needs and don't have an employment goal. We're trying to get guidance from the federal RSA and don't really have a clear idea yet, but that we could use state funds, not federal,
oh, okay.
But that we possibly could use state funds to provide some basic training on independent living needs. That was one of the things with our numbers that I wanted to know for sure how many clients we have that are in that age range, which I think there were, what was it? Seven that were age 24 to 48. And so we are able to do, obviously not a lot, but some, and we're trying to get better guidance from the feds as to exactly how that can work.
Okay, can I follow
up?
Okay, just two things following up with the independent living. One, I'm on the independent living, statewide independent living council. I know the VR, the non-blind agency, they are trying to strongly encourage people that maybe aren't sure if they want to work or not to pursue the vocational track. And I hope we're doing that. Short term, that may mean that our results may be not as percentage-wise as good, but I think we'll have more successful outcomes. So, you know, I hope we will do that. And then secondly, recently I heard that the governor is requesting departments to be prepared for an 8% decrease in funding. Is that still the case? What are you doing to prepare for that? And would that impact your desire to seek additional funding for independent living?
Yes, good questions. We've put forth a major effort so far, really this past year or so, in working directly with all of the IL clients that are in the 24 to 55 age group to really encourage them to consider VR goals. Quite often it really is that the individual newly blind really doesn't believe they can do anything in the job market. And so, yes, that's why we really only have seven now that are still there. And then when that isn't the case, encouraging them to look at other resources like the Centers for Independent Living. With regard to the budget, there is still the emphasis from the governor's office that budgets could potentially be 8 or even 10% less than was submitted. As a part of our budget request, this is part of what was required, we had to submit kind of a secondary portion that is with 8 to 10% less funds. And so we did do that exercise. We had specific things that we identified as this is what we would cut first, this is what we would cut next, and so on. So all of that is a part of our biennium proposal. And then as far as we do still believe that there's a good reason and good foundation for requesting additional funds from state government to provide some independent living training, and we've written in the justification for that as well.
Thank you.
Dr. VanZant, another question I had regarding the AWARE system from Alliance Software was that since it's going to be online, and since we've all heard in the news about different entities being hacked and whatnot, the security of the confidential client data that's going to be there, and what steps is Alliance Software doing to make sure that that's dealt with, or that to keep that data safe?
I think that might be a good Wes question.
Wes.
I know that that's with the OCIO involvement, that's certainly a concern. Wes?
Yes. I know that early on, this was pre-RFP days, we met with AWARE and many officials from the OCIO, including the security. And the OCIO was confident that they had the steps in place. I know that the data is isolated. It's behind a bunch of firewalls. It's hosted in data centers that have multiple levels of biometric and other protection. It meets, I don't know what the exact standards are, but there's security standards that have to be met. And it's, you know, it's, it seems like it's pretty secure, but when they're going to come meet with us here in a week and try to make sure that we address that.
Thank you, Webb.
They're ahead of Trump. They already built the wall.
Do you already know what, I mean, do you know what it's going to take for our staff to access it? I mean, is it going to be, you have to be coming from a state computer and then have a username and password? Is it going to be, you can come from any, anything, so that if you're out in the field using a an iPhone or something, you're still going to be able to hit it? Is it going to require, like, two-factor authentication to be able to get in? Something other than just a username and password that's going to protect that data?
Right now, a lot of their systems that are on the cloud are using just a website that goes in. You know, if you hit it from the field, a lot of the state, the newer state cloud systems are like that, such as the Employee Work Center and the Development Center and the Training Center, and to a degree, the Payroll and Financial Center is as well. I found two-factor authentication to be fairly usable with a bunch of my personal and work accounts, so I will look into that as well.
So just as my boss at the university has instilled in me there, that he never, ever wants to have his name and department name on the front page of a newspaper related to a data breach.
Amen.
That would be the last thing I would want us to face here as well. So I just urge that all steps that we could possibly take to ensure the protection and confidentiality of the data that's entrusted into us are taken. All right, that was the last question that I had about your report. Does anybody else have any questions for Dr. Van Zandt?
Nope.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for that, Dr. Van Zandt. The next item on the agenda is the budget update. Did you have anything to add from what you've given your report already?
Let me just see if Bill wants to add anything.
Otherwise, I know I do have some questions from the reports and things that Bill has shared with us, and I don't know if the other commissioners do as well.
Mm-hmm. Should we just go to questions?
Let's just go to questions.
Yeah, I'm fine
Pearl
with
did
that.
Mention kind of what we had proposed in that budget, and so yeah, happy to answer questions.
Okay. So this is kind of like this is probably the first round of the commissioners having some more detailed documents given to us ahead of time to be able to peruse as far as some of the financial standings of the commission, where we are as far as meeting our budget goals, and what we've been spending money on. One of the questions that I had in reviewing those documents was, and you answered this for me this morning, but the other commissioners might be interested in this as well, as I noticed, and it surprised me that we pay bonuses to employees. I fully expected to see payroll and even possibly overtime from occasion. I know we try to avoid that, but you know, when it's necessary, it happens, and other things. But I was surprised to see that there was a category for bonuses and that there was actually something listed there.
Yes, I'll speak to that. This is once a year, and it is a result of the governor's awards for employee and supervisor of the year, and those individuals receive a small bonus, and it shows up in their paycheck, which is why you saw it on the thing. But that's part of the what the employees receive when being named governor's employee and supervisor of the year.
Okay. Jim, or Mike?
All right, I'm actually trying to bring up the document here, Bill, so I can look at it at the same time as we're talking. But the other question that I had was, in looking through, and I believe it's this document that I have here. In looking through the 2016-10 all Excel spreadsheet that you sent, which is, I believe, all the general ledger, all the expenditures that were made in this last period, or actually for the month of October, there were a bunch in here that were just labeled, scroll down here, lots of payroll. That's good. We're paying our employees. but there were a bunch that were labeled in here, like Kathy Stevens' P-card. And how can we tell if Kathy Stevens' P-card purchase was a stapler or a van rental or whatever it is?
We worry about that, Kathy. No, actually, that's an excellent question. And what you're going to find, that general ledger report that you receive basically delineates each transaction that we make during the month. And the way that our P cards are handled is that the when the state accounting people charge or pay the MasterCard or the Visa card bill, they just pay the balance, all right? And they charge each one of the agencies for their, they charge each one of the agencies and do a transaction at that time, a basic overall transaction agency-wide for those P-card transactions. Then the actual journal entry comes back to us. And then we go in and we do another journal entry that takes each one of the individual transactions and allocates that money then back to the proper office expense, if you will, travel expense, whatever it is. And most of those things that you see that may have Nancy Fleurel's name on it, P-card, or Connie Daly's P-card, those are going to be negative amounts. And what that is we take that journal entry negates a little piece of that original state accounting entry and then allocates it right back to our grants. Go ahead, Mike.
So each instance, like I'm looking here at some that are saying Nancy Fleurel P card, but you know, she's not even here right now. So we can talk about her. So Nancy Fleurel P card, but I mean this is like for 52 cents.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two of them right in a row for 52 cents. three of them. Man, she's buying a lot. 52 cents three times right in a row.
Yep. And it is. Like with our. Those things that come under the cost allocation plan, where we buy something for the office, but it needs to be allocated amongst the three federal grants that we had, Part B, Older Blind, and Basic Support. Well, about 90% of it goes to Basic Support, and about 8% goes to Older Blind, and about 2% goes to the IL Part B, or went to the IL Part B.
So you're taking what she purchased then,
yep,
and dividing it amongst by under a certain formula appropriately amongst the different grants.
That's correct.
And now would that be done on a per, like if she well, I mean, if it was for a specific program, like doing or FYI or whatever, you know, some training program in the kitchen here in the building, and she was buying food, of course, that would be all for one program. But if she had to go buy office supplies, would that be done on a item-by-item basis?
Not item.
Or would it be the entire receipt or break thing? If for some reason one thing had to be broken out because it was specific for one grant, it could be.
Correct. Now, for the most part, we will break them out in accordance to, like, for office supplies. It'll be done kind of on a ticket basis because there's an object category for office supplies.
Okay.
But again, somebody may place an order for a couple of boxes of file folders.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take that particular one and or that particular order, if you will, and distribute it amongst the three grants. It does take some time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I guess I was just going to make a comment for those that are in the public that maybe don't understand this or haven't heard this. In a recent audit, one of the things that the auditor suggested is that the commissioners have a good understanding of the commission's budget. So, and as commissioners, we do take that responsibility very seriously, and I would like to thank Bill and Pearl for their availability and then their transparency, and I've learned a lot more about finances at the commission than I thought I ever would, but I do appreciate the detail that goes into keeping track of all this money and grants. So they at this point I'll say you do a good job, unless I learn something different. There you go.
Yes, I second that. Kudos to you guys to keep track of all of that.
So I've got one. So I need some training on some JAWS commands and then just kind of spreadsheets. So I really still can't make head or tails of them. So anyway, that would help me because I just can't find my way around and I'm not sure what I'm looking at. So I need, because my experience with spreadsheets is ones that I created and they were just straight columns up and down and rows back and forth. Nothing like what these things are that I've been trying to look at. So I need some help, man.
Can I add a little piece?
Yeah, absolutely.
With that general ledger spreadsheet,
mm-hmm.
What I would like folks, it's pretty wide. There's a lot of information in there. But I took the first three columns, columns A, B, and C of that spreadsheet, and the first column is an object category, and that's kind of a categorization of each individual expense in accordance with some information that the state accounting people provide us. Anyway, that whole sheet is sorted by those object categories. I would also tell you that budget status report that I send you is also, it contains monthly expenses that were paid, okay? And it's by object. So if you go to the general ledger, and let's say we're going to go to object category 511100, six digits. If you go to that salaries, you can add all of the general ledger entries, each one of the individual general ledger entries together, and that should give you the amount of the monthly expense that you see in that budget status report.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you, the budget status report is very good for giving you a kind of aggregate information, but if you're going down the list there and you say, what did they spend all that money for office supplies? You can go to the general ledger and go to the object category, in this particular case is 531100. It is the same as what's on the budget status report, and it will give you a listing of all of the entries that were made or all of the payments that were made in that object category. Again, I understand what you're saying. Robert, in that, you know, that's still kind of confusing. But don't let the fact that there's 15 columns in there confuse you. Really, probably the most relevant things are in those first three columns. The first one is the object category, the second one is the payee, and the third one is the amount. And so if you have a question and you're curious as to what you know, what a particular expense is, please don't hesitate to give us a call, and we should have paper, not paper, well, Dave has paper documents up there that will substantiate any of those expenses.
And specific to the issue of using spreadsheets with JAWS, just as NCBVI can provide commissioners with equipment that you may need to use to do your job as a commissioner, we also can provide some training, and we'll work with you individually to see what it is to do. We can't give you all training to be accountants, but certainly in terms of accessibility issues, let's talk offline and figure out what would work.
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. All right. Bill, even with the comment that I had just a minute ago, or the question I had a minute ago about, you know, Kathy's P card or Nancy's P card, whatever. Most of the ones I did see a few in here that are negative entries, like you're describing. Most of the ones I was looking at were positive entries, positive dollar amounts. And like I said before, I have no idea what she's purchasing. But then coming down further here in the list, I just see what I believe are client names and dollar amounts. So I don't know if this was somebody purchasing. I mean, I guess I would have thought that maybe this is a corresponding entry to a P-card, you know, for this student or this client going to maybe an NFB convention. I was hoping that we would see enough detail so that we would see the $400 stapler.
Okay.
If this is an airline ticket, is this, you know, obviously there's a row here, there's a row for every expense, but it just doesn't tell me what the expense is. I mean, it'll assign it to a category.
Right.
I guess I have.
Now, those categories are also defined in another document that I sent.
But it
will not tell you, you know, again, about a $400 stapler.
Right.
It'll tell you that there's a $500 expense for office supplies.
Correct.
And you know, your point is well taken. How am I to know that that's for, you know, 10,000 sheets of paper, mm-hmm. or am I to know that that's for one stapler? There's not a lot of, I can give you that documentation if you ask about that individual transaction.
Okay.
But I'll be honest, I don't have any way to delineate that information efficiently.
Okay. Is there a, I'm good. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Can I wait?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay. Bill, would you talk just a minute about internal controls and how we manage internally that to make sure nobody's ordering a $400 stapler, which we do not.
And good. Copper staples.
I guess that's the $64 question. Yes, what happens is that each one of those transactions is reviewed. Our staff members, Connie Daly or Kathy Stevens or Nancy Fleurl, when they make a purchase on that P card, mm-hmm. they immediately print an invoice or submit an email of an invoice back to Dave Robinson and Connie Carlo in Norfolk. And they collect each one of those invoices, if you will, and they review them. And by virtue of the fact that they sent that, Nancy or Kathy or Connie sent that invoice to us using the state email, which is secure, what we consider to be secure email, we can assume that to be a receipt of goods. And so we're saying, we can tell from there that they were cognizant of that purchase. Mm-hmm. Now, our staff will take a look at it. And again, if they see a $400 stapler on there, they'll make a phone call or they'll call me and we'll check it out. And it may be a legitimate $400 stapler, sure. You know. It can be. I haven't seen any of those yet, but that's okay. I'm glad. I am glad. But we do. We try to ask the question at that point. But it does get reviewed before it gets paid. Now, one of the things that does bother us is actually, state accounting actually pays those P-card bills within 3 to 5 days. And so we're going to have, you know, in order to go back and say we dispute this charge, it does take some work because they have to go back and undo a payment. But that's just part of the system, and if we have to do that, that's what we do. Okay. And we have done that before.
And I would like to add that the people that have the purchase cards, that's what we're calling P cards, generally supervisors, Kathy, a few other people, they're very aware of what's allowable, what's not allowable, and very responsible about how they use those cards.
Okay. There we go.
Okay. Now, Bill, in that document, in that Excel spreadsheet for the journal entries, that left column that you're saying are the object codes,
mm-hmm.
I did look at the Word document that you had that was a defined object that defines all those object codes. Every one of those is going to have a corresponding entry on this Word document.
The Word document that explains.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So can we? Would there be a way that we could stick these object codes in an Excel in a sheet in the Excel document and do a
comparison. A lookup.
Yeah, a lookup, and populate another column, so that as we're reading through these journal entries, I'm not looking at code 592211 something something. You know, instead I'm seeing vocational or visual evaluation or psychological or medical or that we could do some of these definitions are fairly lengthy, so maybe together we could run through and do a quick 2-3 word substitute for the code.
Sure.
But something that would make more sense visually reading it, you know, within human terms.
We could certainly give that a try. I'm not real adept at the differences in formatting. We do have two documents there, and I'm not so sure that the object categories aren't part of an Excel document, but the column widths and all are kind of variable.
Mm-hmm.
Let me take a look and see if I can find someone that can that might be able to help me put that information together.
Okay.
And do a lookup through and then populate an additional column that tells you exactly what that or gives you at least a brief description of what those numerical.
Because I'm assuming the spreadsheet that you gave us is pretty much automatically generated out of the financial system.
That's correct.
Okay. So, you know, maybe in a separate document, you have some stuff sitting there. So once you generate this report for us, you know, maybe you click new sheet in there and copy something in. So maybe there's a 4 or 5 step process, but that it would allow this an extra column to be populated and make it a little more readable.
Okay. Yeah, let me see if I can put together a document that, and see, one of the things that we have is that there's actually two documents there. One is the state accounting materials, that's kind of the generic codes. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the codes that start with a 5-9,
right.
Those are government aid codes. And we kind of have our, we were given leeway to kind of make our own list of okay. those. And that's the Word document that you
yes.
have. That has all of those government aid codes, if you will.
Right.
So we'll have to see if there's some way that we can go in and integrate those codes in with the state accounting codes and then put that in that lookup table, if you will.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And this is Becky. Pardon my ignorance. I'm not real literate on Excel.
Uh-huh.
But with PowerPoint, you can do a... an alt text, would that be an option to do in a column for, to, no? Thank you, Wes. See, I
thank
should
you,
ask
Wesley.
You first.
No, I
okay.
know, but yeah.
We'll work on it.
Yes, absolutely, because I do understand your frustration. It's a lot of work. Now, after a period of time, you do kind of get used to all of those things, but again, that's some folks, some folks work that way and some folks don't necessarily work that way. I'm okay with it.
Well, like I said, this is our first go around
yeah.
kind of looking at these things and I think we all knew that it was going to be a work in progress
yep.
to yeah. find something that was going to work for everybody. So I appreciate all your work on.
Oh yeah, and I appreciate the fact that you guys are looking at that those documents. That is great.
Okay. Does anyone from the board have any other questions?
Nope.
At
this point. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you very much, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
For the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and. Skip the newsline report, and we'll JB Ritchie has included a report just like she always does. I appreciate that. It will be included in the minutes. If anybody would like to go and read that at a later time, they're certainly it'll be available here in a week or so online, and you'd be welcome to do so. Client assistance program. Caps and complaints.
No,
or, I'm sorry.
There were none this
there were none.
Quarter.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Was the new director for the, was she here today?
She's not here today. Her name is Sherry Bohensky. She
okay.
would like to attend in February.
All right. Great. Great to meet her then. Great.
The director for the client assistance program.
Oh,
yeah. She the director of the client assistance program retired not so long ago, and her replacement has been identified and hired, and we just haven't got a chance to meet her yet.
Right.
The next item was the submissions from the anonymous staff suggestion box. I have those here. Just a moment.
Thank you.
Okay, the first one. I had some notes here on how, what I wanted to say about it. So I just, the first one was a comment that was left back in September. It was regarding a coworker's, the way that a coworker is formatting their emails, that it sometimes takes too much effort to get to the informational nuggets within the email. And this is something that probably is needs to be handled by, I think the best way to handle something like this is for the person who submitted this, that they need to provide some constructive feedback to the individual that they feel is not getting to the point. That they need to be, if they think that this is a problem, that they need to go forward to that coworker and shut the door and talk to them for just a minute, constructively, politely, and professionally. And that's going to be the best way to get to the to get a resolution for them. The second one that came into to the staff suggestion, anonymous staff suggestion box, was came in just the other day. In fact, just yesterday, Friday, November 4th, and when the board read it, it was I think it's fair to say that most of us or all of us felt that it was somewhat slanderous against a employee at the commission. And while we would we're always interested in getting comments and feedback, something of this nature, it's always, I'm sorry, things of this nature are always best brought by oneself. If somebody had, the person bringing this forward, if they had, they don't need to come and speak before the board in a public forum, they are welcome to contact us individually. And sit, and we'd be happy to sit down and talk to them, and so that we can ask some more detailed questions and get to the bottom of this. They would not have to be, their comments and stuff would not have to be shared with anyone else. It could stay just between them and the board, but they do need, it would be very beneficial if they have some concerns about another employee and for whatever reason they don't feel that they can go through the normal chain of command to bring those feelings to the board, that it would be done so in person or in direct communication, so that we could have a back and forth conversation about it and make sure that we understand the aspects of it. To that individual who wrote the who wrote that suggestion yesterday, I would urge you to please seek a board member out and have a personal discussion with them. And we would be happy to look into to any concerns that you might have. But on a typically an anonymous email that really just, I can't think of a better word to use than that, just appears to be slanderous by itself. It's hard to act on it. So if there is, if this person would contact the board, we would be happy to look into it further, but they would, we would appreciate it if they would contact one of us directly. This is probably not the right form of communication to bring a topic like that to the board. Does the board, any of the other board members have something to say about those two?
You know, when I heard the first suggestion about the length of emails, I took heart because I thought I need to do the same thing. So I thought that was a productive comment, and I couldn't agree with, on the second one, I couldn't agree with Mike more. It's, I didn't think it was appropriate for public discussion.
Okay. All right. I do appreciate that being said, we do want the staff does have something that they need to bring forward. I don't want it to sound like we won't address it. If you have a question or a comment or suggestion, please let us know. It was just that particular topic was probably not just the right choice of that avenue. That brings us down to the Nebraska Business Enterprise Program update. Is that going to be Carlos?
Yeah.
Okay. Carlos, I'll bring the microphone. Now we're going to just about that.
Okay, I'll make it short in case you guys have questions. I send that report. The first one is in MOCOS. We got a contract for the vending machines at the Department of Road, in addition to the cafeteria there already. So a current vendor who was running the 1526K state office building and the National Guard offices in Lincoln, it took that Department of Roads. So we are doing that now. The 1526K and the National Guard building was given to a new vendor. So vendors are making more money that way. Last week on Wednesday, I have a meeting with the building division folks to talk about new opportunities. So they are giving us this building where we are now. And the idea is that we're going to start in January with this new building. The conversation was very, very good. I think I mentioned to the board before that due to all the work we were doing in the past, this is paying off now because they are telling us or implying that once the contract with the state office building in Lincoln for the vending machines and the state capital are over, which is going to be in July of 2018, they are basically going to give it to us without going through the RFP process. So that's a very good. We are not paying rent for any of the state contracts that we have now. So I will encourage folks, the public, consumers, or commissioners for that matter, to write maybe thank you letters to the building division and the governor's office, because the same way we write letters to complain, I think it would help us to write letters to thank them. So that's a point there. The Department of Corrections also approached us several months ago. I reported that we are going to start moving in December to two new buildings in Lincoln. And in the beginning of the year 2017, we will move into Omaha. We are going to have a total of between 11 to 13 new buildings across the state. More jobs for blind people, so we are going to be looking for new competent folks. And that's the highlights that I have, unless you have a question for me.
I do.
Mm-hmm. You need the mic?
Yeah, I'm coming. Come on. In the past month or two, there has been some issues along the state interstate, and I was just wondering if you could give us an update regarding that, the issue related to vandalism of our equipment,
Thank you, Mike. Yes, there were like 11 machines broken in different sites. We assume it's maybe the same person. As you know, criminals usually find ways to break in, and then we need to find ways to avoid or to stop that. With the previous machines that we had, where there were different kinds of machines, we found a way to avoid that. This time we have new machines with different technology. There are new machines, green machines, and also ADA accessible. So they found a different way to break in, and don't worry, found a way to avoid that from happening in the future. So he's going to put some mechanism on the other machines across the state. We hope that will stop at least that mode of breaking in. We tried putting cameras in the past. The criminals just came and broke the cameras. So unfortunately, that's what happened. Any other questions on that?
No. I'm glad that there was a solution that was found to that should prevent this situation in the future, and that steps are being taken to implement that across the state.
Don also contacted the manufacturer to tell them how maybe when they are manufacturing the machines, they can put that device in there or mechanism, so whenever we buy new machines, we don't have to go through that again.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Did you have something?
I do have a crowd up there. All right, well, first of all, it's great to see the business enterprise growing. That takes a lot of effort, and I'm glad that we're increasing our number of opportunities for blind vendors. My question has to do with expansion that requires more machines. And I know we bought a significant number of machines recently. If we continue to grow, do we have funds to buy the machines to support the growth? And is that a budgeted item, or is it at the discretion of what available funds there are?
Sure,
it could be Bill, you
okay.
Or me, but go
I'm
ahead.
I'm wrong, Bill,
correct?
Yeah. Well, knowing that we are getting a Social Security reimbursement, in fact, last week we got $242,560-something, I forgot, maybe 0 cents, 7 cents, or 70 cents, but you got the point there. Real Ackman also, and the fact that we are carrying on basically a year budget from the federal I feel confident that we do have the money for that. In addition to that, I usually meet with Prol and Bill, and we talk about those opportunities. So I'm reporting here, so it's not a surprise that we are going to be getting new machines and looking for new opportunities, because we do have the funds. If we were struggling with money, that would be very difficult to look for new locations, I think. But this time is the time to look for those ones. And if we don't get Real Ackman or Social Security in the next 2 or 3 years, at least we will have the new sites available and with all those machines, and we don't have to buy new ones. That's our approach so far.
Thank you, Carlos.
Any other questions from the commission board? All right, well, thank you very much, Carlos. The next item on the agenda is a report from Radio Talking Book.
Mike, quite a few new people have come in. I think maybe as part of the thing. Come on up, but if you'll want to introduce the new folks that have come in as well.
Okay, well, we can run a microphone around real quick here in the back of the room.
Individuals over to.
Right. Are you asking me to
the go? The lady that stood up, why don't you start with her?
Okay, because she's going to give the presentation in just a second.
That I don't know.
I am, but so if you want to introduce the other folks, that's great. Ahead. No.
Well, okay. We want them to, we don't know necessarily everybody.
Okay. Do you want them to introduce themselves?
Sure, that would be great.
All right.
Hi, my name is Dick Harrington, and I'm a board member with Radio Talking Book Service.
very much.
Good morning or afternoon. Yeah, I'm Joe Shetta. I'm a board member of the Radio Talking Book Service also.
That may be the other lady then. Maybe that's it. Okay.
Thank you very much. I have to take my note back. My name is Jane Nielsen. I'm the newest member of the Radio Talking Books Service team. And my co-director is here, Becca Jurdy. And I've only been there a month, so I don't know everything by far. I'm very happy to be here. I have a son that's visually impaired, but I am totally blown away on a daily basis by the capabilities of the visually impaired and blind, because my son was sighted until he was 30, and he still can see like light and shadow, so he gets around very well. But I am amazed every day by the capabilities of the blind and visually impaired. Our mission, which I'm going to read because I haven't memorized it yet, is to provide human-voiced information to individuals who have visual or physical disabilities which prevent them from reading otherwise printed material. Radio Talking Book Network and Listening Link are the two mediums used to provide our services. We read three newspapers every day, the Omaha World Herald, the Lincoln Journal Star, and the Wall Street Journal, and then we read eight regional newspapers throughout the week. We have 100 dedicated volunteers. Some have been there 20 and 30 years, and many of them don't have a visually impaired or blind person in their immediate family or even related to them. They just got turned on to us some other way through a board member, and so we could not do what we do without our many volunteers. One of the things that was just added a month or two ago by Becca, which I think is one of the coolest things, is community conversations. And it's actually an hour on Fridays from noon to one, mostly live interviews. Occasionally they're taped. But this last month, because we believe in getting information out to the visually impaired and blind that they otherwise would not get, we had many candidates in that are running for election, some that are already in office, some that are new to the office they're running for. We had the League of Women Voters in, and they talked for a half an hour about what they do and how they work to get the vote out. They gave us a pamphlet, and we had four volunteers read that entire pamphlet, and we have played it numerous times, and we'll continue to play it up until Tuesday, so again, our folks can get the most up-to-date information. We had both the Douglas County and the Sarpy County election commissioners in. They were on for an hour, and they brought the AutoMark machine in and explained how that machine has worked, told about what they can expect at a polling place, that number one, they can go to any polling place and vote, and they should have the privacy that's guaranteed. And we put a microphone up to next to the AutoMark so they could hear what it would sound like, so if they go and use that machine. We had AARP in yesterday. We have events that aren't in, for instance, the Go magazine and the World Herald, some local events or events throughout the state that maybe haven't made the newspaper. We're booked through the month of November for this community conversation, but we hope to add in the future, in this hour every week, various nonprofits that help the visually impaired and blind, and also other nonprofits that we can be the vehicle for them to get the word out as to what they do. I'm here for two reasons. One, to thank you guys for past support for a number of years, a number of years ago, but also for a large number of years. You gave us a tremendous amount of financial support. In the beginning, it's my understanding, it was half of our operating budget. And so they've hired me to build awareness of the group. I have previous experience in Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development and other nonprofits and sales and marketing. So I've been getting out to talk in the community, networking events, and bothering anybody I can meet to invite me to the groups that they're in, whether it's Kiwanis or Lions, church group, senior center. I am well connected in the metro area, so I'm going to use all of those connections to build awareness of Radio Talking Books. And in addition to being here to thank you for your past support, we're here to ask you for some support in the future. As you know, grants for operating expenses are very hard to come by. So we do apply for as many grants as we can, and we have a wonderful group of individuals that donate to us on a regular basis and some random, not so regular. But we would like to increase our funding, so that's the other reason that I'm here. I'd like to ask Naomi to speak. Naomi Marion is on our board, and she's also blind, and so you can talk a little bit about why you like radio talking books and listening.
I like radio talking books. I was introduced to it by one of my doctors who turned me on to a place that I could get a book. And the book has helped me a lot because on a daily basis, because I listen to it 24/7, believe me, it's my favorite. And then on top of that, I have another radio. So I have two or three radios going and two or three tape recorders going, and that's what I keep busy with. But I know I've got to get out a little bit further and get into the computers. But the radio book, it helps me with the newspaper, with ads, and the obituary, keeping track of what's going on in Omaha. You know, this is my way of getting around. That's my vehicle, is the radio. And I thank everybody for that.
Thank you very, very much, Naomi. I also have two board members here. Would you like to say something as a representative on the board?
You bet. Thanks, Jane. A couple of things I wanted to say. One, that we great. I don't know if you've talked at past board meetings or past meetings of the commission, rather, about the increase, but we greatly increased the number of folks that we're reaching. Becca has done a tremendous amount of work of that in the last few months. We've gone out to a lot of assisted living homes, things of that nature, throughout this part of the state and up in the Northeast. The other thing, we've got some other things. You mentioned the community conversation. We also have something called Voice of the Veterans that we started a few months ago, where we're reaching out to those visually impaired veterans. We do that on Saturdays. We have a show for that for an hour. And let's see what else. So Saturday at the movies, anybody ever talked about that? Becca, why don't you talk about that?
Sure.
That's one of the most popular shows that we've got.
Awesome. This is Becca. So Saturday Night Movies, we air an audio-described movie. I'm sure there's some of you in this room that are familiar with audio description. We air that Saturday night, and then we do a Sunday matinee, the same movie, on the weekend. It is probably one of our most popular shows. We get the most feedback on those. And that's one of the things that we strive to do with Radio Talking Book, is give you local current information to remain engaged in your communities. But there's also an entertainment element to it. Overnight programming, we run Antioch Old Time Radio. It's the only programming that we don't produce ourselves. But the rest of the day is filled, by and large, with information to help blind and visually impaired folks lead self-directed, productive lives. Dick mentioned our increase. Since June, we have added an additional 2,200 listeners through an effort to reach out to care facilities statewide. When we were able to start streaming on the internet, we've been statewide the whole time through our SCAFM frequencies. But as any of you who are from rural areas know, SCAFM frequencies aren't all that consistent, and they can be tough out in rural Nebraska. Of course, a great chunk of Nebraska is. So when we were able to start streaming on the internet, the possibilities, they're moving forward, just going to be endless. We have two different devices that we can offer assisted living facilities to service the entire facility. We are also working on using the digital free over-the-air TV signal as well. We have a new receiver for that to help with individuals in more rural areas. As Dick mentioned, we are upping our engagement with veterans. We are paired with the Blinded Veterans Association now, and being able to enable these folks to know what is happening in the world. A great majority of our listeners lose vision over time. I can't even imagine what it would be like if I wasn't able to get up in the morning and, you know, read the newspaper or curled up on the couch thinking about a book or my New Yorker magazine or my Smithsonian. So I just, again, I want to thank you all for your assistance financially in the past, and then even up into current times. Last week we received 3 referrals from the NCDVI office here in Omaha. We get them from across the state, so I can't thank you enough for helping us get the word out about this really invaluable service. Thanks, Becca. Joe, we also have our treasurer, board treasurer here.
Yes, as Jane said, I'm Joe Shedd, board member and treasurer. I've been a board member for several years, 5 or 6 years, and this is the first time in my memory that we have visited with the commission. So I appreciate that opportunity to do that. I hope that we can continue this, if nothing more than to give you an update on what we're doing, because there are some very, as you heard, some very exciting things going on in the Radio Talking Book service. One of the things, by the way, and Dick didn't say this, but he also is a volunteer who reads the Norfolk Daily News every Friday. And so I'm from Norfolk, so I tune my computer and I don't have to subscribe to the Norfolk Daily News, but at least once a week I get some of the news. So I enjoy doing that. In any event, thank you for the opportunity to visit with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you, that's about all we have. We wanted to keep it very short because I know you have a lengthy meeting. Are there any questions for us? I appreciate very much the board members and Becca coming, because I am so new, I could not have shared all that information with you. Yes?
So,
do you want to bring them?
I apologize. Maybe I'm just not understanding your organizational structure, or maybe there's been a change. We have been in discussions with another gentleman in the past couple of years that was your executive director.
Yes.
Probably John.
John Fullerton.
Yes.
Well, also Brian.
Brian Freeman.
Yeah. So are they still part of the organization?
Yep. John Fullerton still reads for us. He's in every Friday to read. He was the executive director for 18 years, and his father is the one that started KIOS and started Radio Talking Books back in 1974. So we have a very wonderful, long history. I replaced Brian.
Okay.
And so I've just been here a month, so that's why I brought all these other folks with me. Uh-huh. So you could appreciate the continuity that we have.
Okay.
So. And I apologize for my attire. I walked in the Bellevue Veterans Day Parade, so.
Great. Just one other question. So what is your current subscribership? You talked about that you've been increasing it, and it's been growing. And so what? Can I ask what your numbers are at this point now?
Can I have Becca answer that?
Sure. With the addition of the listeners since June, we would be sitting at just over 3,100. I can't speak to how many people right now. We're still working out the analytics on all of our new technology. How many people are tuning in on their computers without... So you can do that without going through any of the processes that you would have to receive a receiver. So
right.
I can't speak to who's listening on the internet, but just around 3,100 would be our listenership at this point.
And how is the distribution of your listeners? Is it really concentrated in Omaha, or... Or is it spread out across the state pretty evenly?
I wouldn't say evenly, but we are spread out across the state. This recent uptick in numbers has been in the Piedmont area community, West Point, Scrivener, Gamer, Cumber, Columbus, Norfolk, South Sioux City. Actually, the 9 system has passed. We provide service to others.
Really, I guess.
And then we'll to the South Plattsmouth, Nebraska City. One of the things next year will be to be able to systematically spread around the state with the new technology. We started slightly close to home this time, just because.
Okay. Do you guys still offer an option for receiving the broadcast over secondary audio programming on any Nebraska Public Television?
Nebraska Public Television provides our broadcast capabilities across the state. It is only SCAFM at this, not entirely true. So when I talked about we've incorporated a
receiver that uses digital free over the air, that is what receives the NET programming from their television broadcast. We also use them to broadcast.
You have to have a certain thing on your television.
Yes.
Check.
Okay. SAP is not as widely used anymore.
Okay.
A lot of those receivers had to be replaced over the years because of the switch from analog to digital.
Sure. Okay.
Any other questions? Yes.
I guess I can speak loud enough. I got just a couple comments and then a question. A comment is, I'm the American Council of Blind President and Omaha Association of Blind, and I've been working more closely than ever with Radio Talking Book because they want to establish a collaborative relationship to help meet the information-based needs of the blind. So I appreciate that, and I look forward to that growing and finding new ways to get information out to the blind. And secondly, I guess my question is how can you sell the commission and the public on how you truly are a statewide service? I know Omaha, there's a lot of people in Omaha, but why should someone in Scotts Bluff listen to Radio Talking Book?
We're hoping to extend our awareness by going across the state. We're actually well connected with the Lions Clubs, as you can imagine. So that's a great network of people. We also have a program, an ambassador program, that we're hoping to launch, which would have people throughout the state that know the program, can take the radios out and take them to someone's home and set them up. And Becca can probably speak better to this as well.
No, you did wonderfully with that. One of the things, she mentioned we read 8 regional newspapers. The Scotts Bluff is one of the newspapers, Norfolk, Grand Island, Council of Stanley Nonpareil, as we overlap a bit with Southwest Iowa. We read the Fremont Tribune, the West Point, and the Columbus. One of the things we were striving to do is add as many of those regional newspapers as we can into our programming. There's lots of hours available in the day for that. So specifically Scotts Bluff, we're reading your paper. We have been for years, and we would love to, again, with increasing technology, we can reach our listeners better.
Care facilities, reach out to those as well. So we're hoping to travel across the state and reach out to the care facilities, reach out through the civic organizations within those communities, and get the word out that we do have the receivers available, and there are ways that they can have those and have access to it.
Well, I guess just so you can, I don't know how familiar you are with NFB Newsline, but they also provide listening services.
Yes.
You have to use a phone and you have to listen through it. How could you maybe be a little bit different than maybe the radio or the telephone service? Yeah.
Well, I guess we are different in that we have a radio or a receiver that they have. It plugs into an electrical outlet. It's already set, the signal is set in it. And they can take it to any room in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And the barracks box is the piece of equipment we use in the care facility that then the signal or the program would go over their closed circuit TV, if you will. And so all of the residents of a care facility and it's just one piece of equipment that goes into the care facility.
Mm-hmm.
We do not charge for that.
Mm-hmm.
We do not charge for the receivers. So one of the ways that you guys help us is because you do have a great network, and we do get those applications from your commission, and we appreciate that very much. As Becca said, we got 3 last week. So again, if we can continue to get the awareness, partnering with you and many other organizations to get more listeners, to get us more out into the communities across the state.
And when you say you read the newspaper, there is some discretion. You don't just read it from page to page. You kind of pick out what would be of most interest to people. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. And I'd also just like to address your initial question. And this is very biased, but Radio Talking Book Network is a human-voiced way to get the news out. From my understanding, Newsline is a computer-generated. They could probably be much more thorough and read entire
entire magazines at a time, I don't know. I apologize for my unfamiliarity with it. But while we do pick and choose a bit, great chunks of the Omaha World Herald, Lincoln Journal Star do get read. With the smaller regional newspapers, our readers are amazing going through and calling out things that are particularly pertinent to the areas that they are reading. Because, for instance, a lot of these small regional newspapers are still reporting on world events. Dick reads what's happening in Norfolk, right? Dick reads.
I don't read any international or national news. I strictly read regional, local news.
Okay. So we're able to bring them the news that they'd be the most interested in. They can get their national news from the television if they want, really. You know, but if they want to find out what's happening in their community, to keep up on the obits, to find out what's being discussed on their town boards, what's being discussed by county commissioners, what things are going to be on their ballot the next time. Those are the things that we are able to convey through our regional newspaper.
And I did pass out a programming schedule to the commissioners, along with some other propaganda from us. And lastly, I'd like to leave with you, we do have an open house coming up this week, Thursday, November 10th, from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can come in and tour the facility, tour the studio. We're going to have open mic all day. And many of you, I'm sure, know our station manager, Paul Stebbins. He's been with us 10 years. He's been blind since birth. I'm totally amazed every day by what he does. The other day, he made it in from his Moby ride into our offices, carrying a cake from one of our volunteers who was retiring. Anne could not come with him that day. And I said, why didn't you call me? I was sitting here. I could have met you. He goes, well, I can do it. So totally amazed by his capabilities. But we'd love to have you stop by. That's Thursday from 9 to 6. Our address is 7101 Newport Avenue. We're in Medical Building 3 across from the Emmanuel Hospital. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for your continued support, your past support, and for definitely helping us build awareness of Radio Talking Book Service.
Come Thank back you. Anytime and give us an update.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, Pearl, the information was passed out. We have it scanned so I could get it email-wise.
First, let me ask, would the materials that you passed out be available on your website?
The schedule is on the website, yes.
Okay.
The rest of it is scattered. It's not in those condensed forms.
Okay.
But
okay. I can
under who we are and what we do, it is available
okay.
on the website.
I can scan the brochure to or the materials. Whatever was passed out here,
right.
email that to
yeah.
you.
So I'm interested.
Does the commission board have any questions for Jane or anyone else? While that
I guess the one question I'd have is, okay. One question I have is, I guess in the past we've supported you financially a little bit. What two parts? I guess. So what is your annual budget, and how much in the past have we dollar wise supported you?
Joe, could you answer that? I'll let our treasurer speak to that.
Okay.
I know in the past, I visited with John Fullerton yesterday, and he said in the beginning, it was almost half, or it was half of our operating budget. So it was considerable in the beginning.
Yeah, I'm glad Jane could answer that, because I'm not aware of what that support was. But there hasn't been in the last 5 or 6 years since I know I've been on the team. Mm-hmm. Our budget's about $260,000.
Okay.
We spend a goodly amount of that for the rent. We get some subsidy from the Omaha Association of the Blind for that. But the other big item for our expenses is the salaries. We have, I think it is 3 full-time employees and a couple part-time employees. And then we have about 100 of the volunteers that do all of the reading and the board of directors and so on.
We do, I guess you can mention, we have a legacy fund and a Wilson fund, and those funds we can use for equipment. So we're doing very well as far as equipment goes. It's, you know, the rent, the utilities, and all the other things that it takes to run an office that we're looking for additional support for.
Okay.
Do you have a question?
I'll look at it.
Oh.
I don't mean it like that.
Jim, go ahead. Give that to him. Go ahead. We're going to go on to public comment here in just a minute anyway, so go ahead. She's here.
Very quickly, Jim, you're right. A number of years ago, the commission did fund Radio Talking Book, and I think, Joe, you're right, it was probably half of the operating cost. And I don't exactly remember when that started, because Mark had asked me that since I've been around ACB and Chair Affair and everything else longer than probably he has, at least in the state. Several years ago, the Unicam, I believe it was the agency, correct me if I'm wrong, the agency was had received the okay to fund through the Unicam, and that funding was cut for whatever reason. It's my understanding that LB 352, which created the commission back in the early 2000s, I think it was 2000-2001 timeframe, the way it was worded, and I did email a copy of that bill to John Fullerton, the way that bill was worded, in effect, cut out the funding of Radio Talking Book because, and I don't remember the exact verbiage, I could send it to you, Jane, if you want, but it was something to the effect that the agency would fund a digital reading service, and I think, if I remember correctly, it said that it had to be housed within the state agency. I could be wrong, but that was my recollection. I would suggest that if, number one, we can find a way to find it, if we can financially support newsletters, in my view, the agency can probably find a way to generate some of that fund, those funds the Radio Talking Book, because while Newsline does serve the need, Radio Talking Book also serves a need to maybe the same and or a different population. So I would strongly suggest that if there is a way to reinstate the funding for Radio Talking Book, maybe not at the same level as it was in the past, but at least something, I would strongly suggest that, number one. And number two, with regard to the open house, be sure and listen to the community programming. I'm going to be in next Thursday to talk about Sheriff. Anyway, we'll be here then, but we'll be here eventually.
Good luck, good luck. We do have one other program that I didn't mention, but it's Listening Link, and we have education. We read educational materials, books for college students, and we have volunteers that do that. And they follow a syllabus. They have to give it, you know, get it done in a timely manner. So we do also have that program as well. And was there something else? Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, I know. I do know. John could not tell me the exact dates of when the funding started, when it ended. We do have some files. We can research that. I do know in the beginning it was $50,000, and it was half of their budget. Their budget was less than $100,000. And it dropped at some point to $30,000, and then I don't know if it reduced down from that over a period of years or not, but that is definitely substantial. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pearl, do you know, can you add any history to, you've been around a long time.
Yeah.
First, can you add any history of why this funding stopped?
Mark.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Okay, and I did serve on the board for Radio Talking Book Services for many years. I can't recall exact dates without looking, but I do know there was a point where the board decided that we should, that the NCBDI should be not funding entities that, the Radio Talking Book and the Low Vision Clinic at the Medical Center were the two key things at that point, and that were really outside the purview of what the VR agency was meant to do. And so, in a nutshell, that's how that worked. I guess without kind of looking back, I can't give you real specifics other than what has been said is all right. I mean, so that's as specific as I can get without looking back at the history. I do remember it all, but to tell you dates and such, I don't
that's
recall.
The same thing John said.
Yeah, so yeah. Exactly. Here you go.
I'm sure we've got it down in a file
yes.
somewhere.
Well, I don't expect an answer today, but is this something that we could reconsider based on some of their new technical advances where they truly are a statewide organization? Like, what would the process be if we want to reconsider that?
Well, we'd have to talk about whether a RFP, request for proposals, was in order. We'd have to look at what was requested, whether it really fit with what the agency can do. So we, you know, we could look at it, but with the emphasis for vocational, that's the key element.
Okay.
The only other thing I was thinking of is just doing that research, going back and reviewing why the decision was made that was made, and making sure we understand that, so that I'm sure they made that decision for a reason, and
right.
it's still valid.
Right.
So just make sure we understand that, and then yes, we could possibly consider something in the future.
Well, and I guess if I could just add one last thing. Regardless of funding, I think we do have a valuable programming and the resource for the blind, and I hope and ask that the commission will help spread the word when they serve new people. And
yes, and actually to that point that I wanted to add, and Jane has mentioned it a couple of times, but the work that our counselors do when we meet with new referrals, one of the things we do tell people about is Radio Talking Book services, and we have the application forms, we provide that, we spend our time with individuals, helping them fill out the form, explaining what the service is. So that in itself, you know, is a contribution that the agency is doing. It costs money to have people. We're happy to do it. I'm just
Absolutely.
Saying
that it's... And it has tremendous value.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and that is something statewide that our counselors do tell people about this resource for them.
Excellent.
Jim?
Tim.
All right. Any other questions from the board? Okay. All right. Well, Jane, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, from Radio Talking Books for coming today.
Yeah, thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It.
I think I saw you, Jane, at...
All right.
Yes.
The last thing that we have on the agenda today is just a public comment. Was there anyone that would like to seek the floor for public comment?
Okay. Nancy.
And Jim.
Okay. Bob.
I just wanted to comment on past funding for RTB. If I recall correctly, when we were funding RTB in the past, we were using OIB money, or Older Individuals Blind money. The Low Vision Clinic also was funded using that money. And at the time we became a commission, that was also the time when we made the transition for the OIB program, made the transition from a discretionary program to, what's the term?
Formula funding.
Yeah, thank you. Formula funding. The level of funding has remained the same ever since the year 2000. Prior to that, we had been getting increases every year, which allowed us to really kind of look at using that money in different ways. But for the last 16 years now, we received the same amount of funding today as we did back then. And then I think when at a certain point, when federal interpretation of regulations and all that started making it, we had to be very precise about how the funds were used. You know, in the beginning, for example, we used to charge a number of things to basic support, things like staff salary, utilities, mileage, drivers were all charged basic support. And then federal regulations started saying, no, you have to spend that money using the actual OIB grant if you're in fact going out there and working with OIB clients. Also, there was a time too when we experienced funding cutbacks that where we had to make some tough decisions about what we could use money for. In any case, I guess what I'm trying to say is if we were to if we were to look at restoring support for programs like RTP, I think we're probably also in a position where we have to look at new funding. You know, it would be difficult to use existing funding, at least the way we used to.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Good point.
I just wanted to add, with regard to our outreach and sharing the word about Radio Talking Book services, is that they certainly are not where they were yesterday, you know. And so we have some long-term employees that are on staff. And I know that both, I think, the Omaha and Lincoln District have been reaching out to learn more about Radio Talking Book and what you're doing. And I know that there has been several of the new counselors for the North Platte District. And so I think that we're all bringing all the new things that you're doing to our offices so that we can share that. But as a part of our staff development, that is one of the things that we encourage. And so anytime there's somebody new, we kind of coordinate all of the things that are here in the Omaha area for them to learn about and visit firsthand about what you're doing. So thank you.
As I remember, as I said before, as I remember, it was stated in LB 352, it had to be a new format for funding any news line or any news distribution type feed, if you will. And when Mark made the comment about, or when I made the comment, Mark piggybacked off that about restoring funding for Radio Talking Book. As I remember it, the law, I agree that the agency needs to look at doing that, but logistically, I don't know how it can, given the current verbiage in the law without it being changed by the Unicamp.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I remember it. And again, Mark, I told you I'll email it to you. In fact, I'll email it to the entire board. But, folks, let's face it, Radio Talking Book needs the funding, number one. Number two, given the way the law was written very cleverly by whoever put the verbiage together, I'm not trying to be negative, I just don't see how it can be done without a current change in the law. So,
got
just
it.
Something to think about.
Thanks.
You're
welcome. Thank you. Is there anybody else in the
room? Anyone else?
Okay.
Well, that brings us to a close. I appreciate everybody sticking with us. We went about 30 minutes over. before we take off, I want to just a couple quick final things. Just again, I want to congratulate John Schmidt and Carol Jenkins on their accomplishments and Employee and Supervisor of the Year this year. Also, I just wanted to comment again on how giddy I was with reading about the center being full again, and actually, is there actually a waiting list?
I think we were
Or we're nearing
close
that.
To that.
Yeah, we're nearing that. So I want to thank all of the, I mean, it's not just an accomplishment for the center, that's an accomplishment for the entire agency, and I really want to applaud everybody's efforts for that. I was really worried with the numbers that we had that somebody might eventually question it operating at some point when there was one, or I'm sorry, when there was numbers like three in it, that there might be questioned by somebody at the Unicam role at some point. So I'm glad to see it up, the numbers up. Our next meeting is going to be the first Saturday in February, I believe. I do not have the focus topic in front of me.
Lincoln?
It will be in Lincoln. I presume it will be at the at our office building there at 4600 Valley Road. And
see, what's the date? You know what the date is, February Kathy?
February 4th.
That I do know.
Thank you.
Great. All right, with that then, we'll adjourn, and thank you everybody for coming.
Good job. All right.
Okay. That's a wrap.